Accession number 18004, Reel 1.
George Rayson, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
In Bury St Edmunds. I was actually born in number 14 Bishop's Road. My grandmother's house.
Which year was this?
1916.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Bury St Edmunds?
Yes.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
Did you get a job?
Yes, right away.
Doing what?
Well, I was errand boy. And Abigail Street, a place called Dunn's, they had a shop, restaurant, kitchen, bakehouse. And after about a year, I went up into the bakehouse as an assistant.
So this was in the 1930s?
Yeah, I suppose it must be. Yes, yes.
What job were you doing when war broke out?
I was still in the bakehouse.
Had you joined the Territorial Army?
No.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
I did, yes.
Under what circumstances?
Well, I was just sitting in my house with my wife and I got a baby daughter then, I saw it. And I can't say I really thought much about it in a way. That wasn't really unexpected. At the same time, I wonder what was going to happen next, if you know what I mean. We been sort of drilled into sort of a blackout and all that type of business. And I fully expected the airplanes to cover next and bombers.
But did you feel dismayed at the news that we were at war?
No, not really. No, I more or less thought, well, that's the best thing we could do, you know. I trusted our politicians at the time.
Were you in any bombing of Britain by the German Air Force? Did any bombs land on Bury St Edmunds?
Not while I was here. I was on leave once when a plane came over and machine gunned the place, but I never got hit, but one or two people in Bury did. I think I killed anybody, anyhow.
Which part of Bury did it machine gun?
In the middle of the town, near enough.
Was it daylight or dark?
Daylight, yes. Real daylight, yes. Or about dinner time.
Which year was that, do you think?
Oh, dear. Only 42 or something, round about that. And the only other place where I had any alarms at all was that I was for a month or 6 weeks at Onington Aerodrome. We was helping the Air Force to put wire net and barbed wire up and that sort of thing. And two or three times planes come over there and there's a little uproar for a bit or two, but they never dropped anything. They did later on, but not while I was there.
But when the plane strafed the middle of Bury, was it in the Buttermarket area?
Yeah, Buttermarket, Abigail Street, because two or three people in Abigail Street got hit. But not badly, you know. I think I had to go to Sugarbee Factory too. When I wore, I killed a woman up there.
Were any bombs dropped?
Yeah, the Sugarbee Factory was. I never hit the factory, but I hit the street leading down to the factory, where the factory workers lived. I've ever killed some woman and injured two or three people up there, but not badly.
How did you come to be in the army yourself?
Just called up. I called up on in the 23 group. I was almost 24 then.
Do you know when you were called up?
Yes. March the 15th.
Which year was this?
40.
What happened to you when you were called up?
Went down the barracks, Gibraltar Barracks. That was the Suffolk Regiment Barracks, that was, the other depot.
And what happened when you got there?
They tried to make a soldier out of me. I was there about 8 weeks. And from there I went to
What was the basic training like at Gibraltar Barracks?
Oh, well, that was all right, but I didn't go down very well at the start, I'll tell you. Marching, weapon training, and all that and other.
You mean you didn't like it?
I didn't. Never did like the army, though I got on all right. I never did.
What did you not like about it?
Well, I was away from home, I was away from my wife, and this, that, and other, and I just didn't take to it, but I tried my best, I done my best, and I managed to get, well, I reached a sergeant, tell you the truth, a nice transfer from the Suffolks to a military government unit as a quartermaster sergeant. But at the same time, I still didn't like it. 6 years all told, I done.
How did you take to the discipline?
Well, that's a case of I have to.
How did
if you done what you was told, you kept out of trouble. And I wasn't looking for trouble.
How did the people in charge treat you on the basic training?
Fairly well, by a lot of shouting and all and swearing.
Did you resent the way they shouted at you?
At the start I did, but then I realised, you know, what they was on sort of thing. You see, trying to break your spirit and bend you to their way of working. And that worked. There were some clever blokes than me, and some not so clever, this, that, and other, but they all managed all right after a while.
How did...
Blended together well, if you know what I mean. I mean, for instance, there was mostly Suffolk, but there'd be five, my platoon, there was five Berry people. There was three for Newmarket, all jockeys, little fellas. I didn't do very well with them. And the rifle was nearly bigger than some of them. And we had one bloke from Manchester, most ignorant bloke ever come across in my life.
In what way?
Well, he was just plain ignorant, you know what I mean? He hadn't got the brains. But he fell in with the rest of us. A lot of country chaps, you know, from local villages were there.
How did they all get on with each other?
Very well, as a matter of fact. I didn't see any trouble in the platoon. We all suffered together, you see.
Did you know much about the Suffolk Regiment before you went into it?
No, I didn't know. I remember seeing the soldiers there, and they always used to march to church on a Sunday morning with a band. But this was always a training place, you see. Often used to turn out and just watch the band go to St. Mary's Church.
Where did you go to after you'd done your basic training?
Well, several small, we went to Sandry Laundry for a while, about a week.
To where?
One of the laundries, I forget which one it was now. We was only in the places there, there wasn't many of us, for about a week. And then we went to a convent in right off to the school where you was teacher. On the outside the road, it used to be a convent.
On Northgate Street.
That's right, yeah, on the outside the road. And, well, part of it was, wasn't you? And from there we went to Eastgate Street, Musto House. From Musto House we went on an aerodrome for about four to six weeks. Then we come back to the Pickles, what's called about Eastern Way now, where the factories are, under canvas there. And from there we went back to Musto House. And from Musto House we joined the 1st Battalion. And they was in Gloucestershire.
Whereabouts in Gloucestershire?
Oh, a place called Stanway, north of Cheltenham. That more or less a village when we was under canvas there.
What was it like? What was the 1st Battalion like when you joined them?
Well, you could say They were split down the middle. There was old soldiers and youngsters. Nearly all the NCOs were old soldiers. And some of them wasn't very clever either. It wasn't really me.
Can you give some examples?
Oh dear. Well, we had a Corporal Cooch in Arbiton, and he just hadn't got the brains. He just wasn't with it. I mean, for instance, I went on guard once. He was guard commander, and we was at Southern Command headquarters then, just for a week or two, and I was first on with another fella at night. And the idea, we took out from the military police, and the idea was to stop, according to the rules, to stop everybody and look at the pay book. You see, well, the military police didn't do that because they knew them, but we didn't. And along come a very smart man. I hold him, demand his pay book. He never said anything, he just looked, and he said, "Where's your mate?" I said, "Just over there," I said. And, he said, "Do you know, this is the first time I've been stopped." He was brigadier. Oh, thanks. So, "Where's your guard commander?" Of course, I shouted to the guard, "How did he come?" "Your man has just stopped me. I'll put him on a charge." That's the first thing he said that time. He said, "You'll do no such thing." You know, he gave him a proper round up. Oh dear. We got away with that one anyhow. Apparently I done what I ought to have done. Yeah, well, the brigadier had a look at the rules first, you know, you've got to book what you can do, what you can't do, what you should do. He was satisfied with what he saw, so off he went. Anyway, 1-2 corps was like, they just didn't know the rules and regulated it. Yeah, they were on guard. Oh, another place too. It's more or less the same thing. Oh, no, they weren't caught. Well, there was one. The one was an old soldier. Where was he? Pembroke. And a barracks there. And the trouble at Pembroke, there was a old-fashioned army barracks at the start, and behind there was Arctic camp with the Navy people. And we used to stop everybody after 12 o'clock at night. And, of course, you couldn't stop the naval people, you see, because they just ignored you, you know. That one was nothing to do with them. Well, several people were coming in. I was a corporal then. I got two blokes on guard each side. And they kept saying, "Alton," this, that, another. And all of a sudden, there was Alton, who had no answer. And there was bang, when the sentries let go with his rifle. He never hit anybody, mind you. But of course, there was a bit of uproar over that, you see, because the two blokes got away, and this, that, and other. And then the orderly officer come round, and there was a little bit of a do over there. Looked at the book, looked at everything, asked the blokes what happened. They wouldn't stop, looked at the orders. Well, as a case of using your common sense, if you see what I mean. But they didn't, one let go. Court of inquiry next day, and nothing was said. They never did find out who the two brothers were. Well, I did. I knew who they were. There were two corporals from another company. I saw them go out. You see what I mean? I guess that's who they was. No time to keep quiet, you know what I mean? So we got away with that one. But one of them blokes I saw was an old soldier. He just, you know, I don't know.
So you went from Gloucestershire to Pembroke, did you?
We travelled all over the place. We went to Cheddar in Somerset. You know where the gorge is? The Cheddar Gorge. Oh, we moved all over South England. We were on the Isle of Wight for some time, different places.
What kind of training were you doing?
Well, general warfare training sort of thing, you see. We never got into combined operations till later on. And I think we started combined operations near enough on Isle of Wight. And We done most of our combined operation trained up in Scotland. Place called Inverary. We went up there twice. And on the other side, Inverness, or just outside him, was on a sort of Air Force base. And we used to go to ships and train at Fort George, the place the name was. The assault ships. And they proper assault ships, you know, with the naval, with the landing craft hanging on the side. It was 18 craft, five at the same, then four, and five and four on the other side. And we used to go up there and again and live on the boat and take off one morning early and go and land further down the coast. Boats used to take off on and we had to march home. home and home, if you know what I mean.
What instructions were you given about disembarking?
Well, they got some plan at what we've got to attack, you see what I mean. That was usually a little village or something of that sort. We've got to land and make a way inland, attack this and attack that. One or two dummy forts were put up in some places. In one place up in Scotland, I can't remember where it was, up there somewhere near Cantra Bay or something like that. We done some field firing or that sort of thing. You know, they fired over our heads. That wasn't very comfortable either, I'll tell you, because any minute now, if he was to lower that bit, he might knock your head off or something, you know. But I remember one particular thing that made me laugh in a while. I was lucky there. There's a lot of sand dunes, and we were bouncing over there, and they kept firing at us, sort of thing, to miss us, mind you. And then in a corner of a wood, there was this canvas, was in a fort, that was a canvas structure. And there was quite a nice long stretch of grass in front. And I was, bit of luck, I was covering fire my section. We lay there, sort of pretending, we did fire actually, at the CSME. Well, the other two sections come round there, and they're all galloping in there with a, and there was a bog, somewhere in up the knees, almost up the waist, before they realised where they were, they had me pulled out. I thought, so that was a nasty trick to play on, you know, really. Bit of luck. Oh, dear.
Did you ever get any accidents in the training?
Oh, yes, there was now and again. Not bad, you know, sort of. We had one boat killed up in Scotland. We'd done one of these night exercises. They took us out on in trucks, pulled the semis down the back, and said we couldn't see out the back, and took us several miles. And that was, by then that was dark. We seemed like a little village sourcing, well, they just go to the village and we were all unloaded. And they paired us off in twos and set us off in minute intervals. You go that way, back to barracks. Yeah, well, back to where we stationed, just what I mean. And that was nearly all. There was no houses, no nothing, a food, hard a tree in it, but most of it was sort of gorse and all that stuff. And again, you see a bit of black, and you're sort of, oh, that's gorse, and step in, you fall about 4 or 5 foot or something. Then we come to a river, which I crossed about 3 times, I reckon, because they kept bending. We walked across it, me and this other chap, and eventually we struck a road. And with a bit of luck, we picked the right way. And that took us right back to where we were, or near enough, anyhow. And took us back to where we knew where we were. And I wasn't first down, but I was in the early few. Well, next day, a fella come in, and he said the bloke he was with fell down a ravine, and he had, and all, he was dead. He fell down this ravine, forget his name, he come from Peterborough way. Came to two companies ravine, and they knew it was deep, but they couldn't see proper in the dark, you see. So once I would go this way, I went this way. Gear shoot, we can find a way down. Well, eventually, one got found a way. He come along about your bottom. There was this bloke sitting in the river, dead as a doornail, like a chunk knocked out of his forehead. Must have hit the rock on the way down, you know.
Did you know him?
As a friend, yes, very well. A very fine footballer he was. I believe he used to play for Peterborough.
Do you remember his name?
Oh, Owlett. Owlett, that's right, Owlett. He came from just outside Peterborough. He was a good footballer. He was a good sportsman all round, you know. He's one of them who can take anything, even a good dart player. Good cricketer, good for his exceptionally good football, he's a left winger.
Which company and platoon were you in?
A company, 9 platoon, all the while.
And who was leading that company and platoon for D-Day?
Cool names escape me.
Doesn't matter if you can't remember, anyway.
He was left-hand, anyhow. Tell you later.
Any other memories of the D-Day preparations?
Well, we done most of the train up in Scotland, and the last we was up on the east side near Inverness. And then we come down to about 6 or 8 miles outside Portsmouth. And we was in amongst the woods, you know, under canvas. We weren't allowed out. We was when we first done there, but after a while we shut in, we weren't allowed out at all. We got on the same boats we trained in Portsmouth Harbour. Same person we trained in up in Scotland. And HMS Broadsword was our one. It was American built. And we had a lot of American food on. That one bad either.
What was it like?
Quite good. Bit spicy, mind you. But there was plenty of it, that's the thing. Yeah.
What was the crossing like?
Ah, now, there was a very heavy swell. It wasn't particularly rough in the sense of quarter rough, but it was a very heavy swell, which we didn't feel too much on the boat itself. I think we were too excited. The boats left with, I think, East Yorks, South Lancs, and we'd behind, we were three in a row. And behind us was the Monitor Roberts, great big warship. See, the Monitor Roberts, like about 16-inch guns, I think. And each side there was patrol boats, either some with AK guns on, some with small stuff, you know, like RAF rescue craft, that type of thing. E-boats, what they call those. All motorboat type of stuff, and one or two destroyers in there. And on the night we saw, if you hadn't been, well, I was out there on deck, there was a destroyer sunk off the Norwegian one. Otherwise, the night was free. When daylight came and you saw the ships, what was there, you couldn't believe it. There was hundreds of them. All sorts, shapes and sizes, even concrete boats. Some with concrete, big lumps of concrete for that Mulberry Harbour, and all that sort of thing, besides HMS Warspout and one or two more big names, all are gone away there, bang away. But I think East Yorks and South Lancs set off first, and we got 8 mile to go we had, with our behind them. And now and again we got splashed a bit, we wasn't them. Nobody could sit down because the gear we was carrying, you see. And one or two joking remarks, yes, nearly done again. And some banter going on. When we had a Londoner there, one of these happy-go-lucky fellas. I might have to swear here, but I'll tell you what he said. He said, boys, I'm going to be bookmaker. I'm going to take bets. He said, I'm going to take bets on the first bloke to shit himself. It caused a laugh of the world.
Did anybody?
He's the first bloke that killed us, so happened. Yeah, he was killed in the village street. Oh, dear. But I didn't exactly feel, I don't think anybody really felt afraid. We Well, what can you say? We just wonder what might happen. We fit as fiddles. We didn't even know we was going to land in France, actually, not till we got issued with some French notes, or francs, what do you call them? And the thing was, they didn't tell us where, you see. And the strong points and all this, that, and other were named after motor cars. I forget the name of the village, what was called. I think that was Chevrolet, I think. And there's a battery of six guns, what we're supposed to attack, one of the companies. That was called Morris. And the place, the strong point where they come into that was called Hillman. And that still is Hillman. And that's still a... that was underground barracks, actually. The commander there was in charge of about 8 miles of beaches. And I marked up Hillman, and the street leading to it is the Suffolk Regiment. And what week? Suffolk Regiment something in here, which meant Suffolk Regiment Street, you know, sort of thing. It's been named after us.
But what was the actual landing on the beach like?
Yes. Now, we're on extreme right. And other ships come in who were tank landing craft and with guns on and all that sort of thing. And as we was going in, we was fired at. They was all going over the top, and one or two shells dropped close because they was fired from several, from a mile or two inland, you know. And of course, we all got heads down, including the Royal Marines. I was right behind them. I got a little box. There were two Royal Marines in there. One was a corporal. He was in charge, and another one. And at the back, shut off, and the rest was another fella with the engines, and he got a fella's phone, you know, slow down, and we said, so we slowing down with Gracie going in, and we ran onto something, which is probably a steel thing, tend to knock a bomb the boats out or something or other. Anyhow, that went, and the boat tipped slightly, not much, and it went very far, well, but other side, for near about that lamp, I reckon.
About 10 yards? 15
yeah,
yards?
Yeah, well, we could see the beach, you see, but there was a very heavy swell, you know. Anyhow, lowered the ramp, and out went a naval officer who was taken in. And our officer, with the middle section, there's two sections only get out at once, and the mile should have been last. Out went our officer, and a corporal. They just stepped off what I thought was going to be a 3 or 4 foot of work, and they disappeared. And up they popped and they swam ashore. Of course, nobody else moved because half the boat couldn't swim. You see? So for the, I said to the Royal Man, back off and go in again, which he did. He slid off quite easily. And we still got the ramp down, and there you go again. I thought to myself, well, don't look any nearer, but look all right. Nobody must have, if I go out of turn, look, I should have. They'll follow me. Of course, off I go. Two more blokes followed me. I never ever thought I was going to touch the bottom. And eventually I shot up to the top, and the ramp was right behind me back. I was touching me back like this, you see. And other two blokes, they came up each side.